is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I want to have a conversation about Justin Fields yesterday and what I said on Pat McAfee's show. So Pat on yesterday's show asked me, like, hey, sounds like Justin Fields is dropping. Why do you think that's the case? And I said, I don't know. But I had done some digging, and teams had told me that there were concerns with his work ethic, how great he wanted to go be. And I said, that's what I've heard, Pat. And then obviously it created a big conversation and narrative yesterday, firestorm. So that forced me to do even more digging over the last 24 hours. And I've had two conversations that I want to put out there to kind of clarify the situation or put more out there about the situation. One conversation I had is with an offensive coach at Ohio State. And he said, tell them that's absolutely not true. That Justin Fields' work ethic is spectacular. That he is a guy that has great football IQ and he's always studying tape. And then the second conversation I had is with John Beck, who's kind of trained Justin as he's headed into his pro day. And John's had a really positive experience saying that, like, listen, this guy's always working incredibly hard on the field. And even after we're done with our field drills, he's the guy that wants to stay after and work on different footwork or different throws. And so he's had a very good experience. So the reality is that I have heard those things from teams. And they might feel that way. And this is also a season where teams are trying to say things to potentially get a guy to drop to them. And so I've just wanted to clarify and put it out there that, like, listen, over the last 24 hours and more digging, that it seems or it sounds like Justin Fields' work ethic is fantastic. And that's coming from two people who have worked directly close to him.
All right. Dan Orlovsky, taking the heat. Getting out of the heat. Does this affect them going forward? I don't know. We'll see.
Dan?
No, yeah. It's over. I don't know, Dan, but at some point they might go, you know.
Somebody will bring it up, but he did his penance yesterday.
No question. But
in the kitchen.
You got to remember.
He did his kitchen
penance. First of all, you know, they've had a lot of backup. They've had a lot of marginal quarterbacks that they've hired at ESPN that they just, you know, got rid of. A lot of white quarterbacks that they just got rid of.
Nah, here's the deal. Dan, I think Dan... Look, Dan didn't understand. He doesn't know this lane. I mean, it really is this simple. He got some information. The bottom line is because he has a major, major platform. He does TVs, major platform on Twitter. He's got to understand, A, the consequences of his comments. So to do that, you got to be really sure about what you're saying. So like you said, you do the backup, even if you trust, because he's talking to John Beck. Well, John Beck, when you talk after you've said your first thing, everything that you're going to hear then is going to be the opposite. And John Beck is a guy working with them. What do you think? John Beck is going to say something negative? No, he's not going to. And John Beck isn't there the whole time. So basically, you can still believe what you have heard or even just share it, be out there sharing it, but you got to share both sides. If all you're doing is sharing information, do more digging in advance.
Listen,
like you said.
ESPN is not afraid to go through. I mean, the Dilfers, the Hasselbecks, the Salisburys.
But
the,
he does everything, though.
The guys who have been... No, I understand, but he still is expendable.
You think he'll be gone? I don't think he'll be gone. What did he do wrong?
Well, No. It's not, are you worth it? And whether and how good... And by the way, everything that he says about quarterbacks and whatnot, everybody goes, you're the guy that ran through the end zone.
There's no firestorm anymore. This is over.
No, I understand. But at some point, Dan Orlovsky might be making too much money. At some point, Dan Orlovsky, a better, younger African-American quarterback comes along, whatever the case may be, a guy who actually played better than Dan Orlovsky did. Dan Orlovsky at some point is going to be. ESPN has been through so many of these that.
Yeah,
you know,
but
what? This is on his resume, and it's not good.
I don't think this does anything to him because, A, he didn't do.
No, it's not going to be immediate. At some point, Dan Orlovsky is going to be expendable.
Just hear me out here. My guess is he doesn't make as much as the other guys were making. My guess is he will continue to do whatever he needs to do to make sure he keeps the ESPN money at whatever rate they say. He's not going anywhere else. He's on every show. Like, he's available at every show. He clearly lives there because he's on set for every single show.
Didn't he go to UConn?
Yeah, he went to UConn. So he's highly available. He probably he probably is a lot less expensive than those other guys because he was basically begging them for a job through Twitter when he started. That's how he started, through Twitter videos. And there was nothing he said that wasn't – he wasn't racially insensitive. He wasn't – and then he did his little hostage video, and people came out in a lot of support. I don't think this will kill him. Let me say something that he said that I want to make sure and put out there. I deal with this all the time. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. The idea that teams put all this stuff out there trying to get players to fall, okay? This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen, because that is to – you have to make the assumption that Dan Orlovsky saying something on a – that me on Twitter or TV or Dan Orlovsky, that other teams are not doing their homework. You may trick a team into saying, wait, what's all this coming from? Where's this coming from? But everyone does their own work and their homework. You have league security that you can have do certain amounts of work for you, although typically it's for league personnel stuff. But the two things that are funniest is talking about players dropping because of something that someone in the media is saying. That just couldn't, especially if it doesn't come from a team. It's like, when you say that this guy is not a good at reading the field, you could be hurting that man's future. No one cares. There are no teams who care what I think.
The thought crossed my mind because, of course, Florio jumped in on it, and he responded to Orlovsky's original statement, and he wrote this kind of paragraph about what Orlovsky should have said in his initial response to Pat McAfee's question, because, of course, Orlovsky should have been looking at every angle when having a conversation in an appearance.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. If he needs to approach things like that, fine.
He should have known all these things.
He wrote, he should have put out there that teams want you to say unflattering things. I thought to myself, so am I supposed to believe that a team, the Patriots, are going to throw that Orlovsky's way, and that's going to make the Panthers pass on Justin Fields?
It's the most unbelievable thing.
No, that's stupid. It's just dumb. 713-780-3776. Well, take this call and then finish. And then that's our weekend update on Dan Orlovsky here on the show. What up, Dan?
That was the biggest forced BS response that Orlovsky could have given. He just was.
That's all you, Mike. And I believe, do we still have him on or not? What's the deal?
No, he's off.
Okay, that's all you, Mike.
Yeah. Because he calls people names.
Okay.
Like he says, in lover? On Twitter, I guess.
Yeah.
He's got some, not Twitter, but the text message.
Oh, text message.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I don't think. I think he's pretty much burned all of his bridges.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he in flames. 713-780-3776. The number. What about our Astros? And we're talking about Dan flipping Orlovsky. Okay,
a former
backup
Texan
that runs out of the end zone.
A former Texan.
Former Texan Dan Orlovsky, who sucked here too. He sucked everywhere he's gone. And so we got to listen to him talk about quarterbacks. What I want to do is I want to talk about our Astros destroying all of Oakland's hopes and dreams. They cheated. How about the guy who does the music playing Carrie Underwood's cheater song? Did you see that?
Yeah, before he cheats.
Wait, what?
Yeah. They were hitting during BP. The music guy, one of the Astros were doing BP. The guy was playing "Before He Cheats" by Carrie Underwood.
Good.
Yeah.
No, listen. I'm with. It wasn't Slappy. Who was it that said? I hope that they take all the energy, the negative vibes, and absorb it, and they become the bad guys.
Now, I'll tell you what is not going to happen. A lot of people want to happen is trash can giveaway day at Minute Maid. They're not going to do that with a bat attached to a trash can and give that little...
Right.
They're not going that far. The Astros ain't doing that. While they're going... Hopefully, and it seems like they're embracing it now. You know what? Come at us. Come on. Bring your best shot, Oakland. Bring your best shot now. And let's see what happens in L.A. tonight. I'm sure they're going to come... Boo! I'm sure it's going to happen, and it's going to happen everywhere they go.
Boo.
And everybody's going to boo. How about the people on Twitter? I got a Dan Clark... I got to admit, I just hate to see the Astros win. Oh, well, good. Good, Dan. Your little feelings are hurt. I'm sure Jeff Passan hates it. A little piece of Jeff Passan dies every time the Astros win a game. Okay? I'm sure that happens. I'm sure that that it happens with all of you, all you haters out there that just hate the Astros and their and how awful they're. This and how ironic it's from Oakland that feels the worst pain about the Houston Astros. With
the Bash Brothers.
With the Bash Brothers.
Of course.
Of all of the teams that could hate cheating. It's Oakland?
What's next? The Giants are pissed off at the Astros?
Right.
You've gained an unfair advantage!
No. Are you kidding me?
There's very few teams that really can come out like that.
The A's, well, I don't know about the A's, but the A's broadcast team wasn't all that thrilled about that Correa collision.
No, right.
And Dave Stewart was like, yeah, we would have fought.
Yeah, and back in my day, there would have been a fight.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, bring it. Bring it, A's. Bring it against our guys, okay?
I hope they all play that cheating song. That would be awesome.
Well, yo, you're cheating hearts next, I think, in L.A. tonight.
That's fine. Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Play whatever you need to.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
Play whatever you need to.
812 ESPN 97.5. I'm going to see Doc Lindell.
So we had an early game tonight?
We got no, it's L.A.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We got, I'm going to see Doc Lindell this week, as a matter of fact. I'm going. I know, right? You know what? I'm going to be like, I'm going to take my hat off and just do this like a, you know, a little, you know.
Like a supermodel?
Yeah, like a supermodel does it. And, you know, the wind.
Like slow motion.
The wind is going to come in my hair and it's going to catch my hair and it's going to be just like.
Do you ever ride sometimes in a, just, do you like to ride? Do you like to go rent a convertible just so you can let your hair fly in the wind?
No, yeah. It goes all over the place. So. You know, my, and it's all because of Doc Lindell and I don't know about you, but. I love my hair. Jackie said, you need to shave your hair so we could be, you know, good team together. No, Jackie, you need to go to Doc Lindell so that we could be a team together and you could have hair and look great as opposed to what you look like now. Here's the deal is if you're looking for hair, Doc Lindell gets this job done with the Neo Graft and he is the best in the business. He is one of the largest in the city. As far as putting hair back on people, because the neo-grafting process is second to none. You will love it. I'm telling you, go and find out for yourself at 975hair.com. Stop not having hair. You can have hair painlessly and in the best process that you'll ever see, 975hair.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
816 ESPN 97.5, 7378-0-3776, the number, if you'd like to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5. All right, how does this play after what we saw on Saturday? And recency bias, really. It really affects. I mean, the line today, well, it was 4.5, Gonzaga over Baylor, 4.5, which I thought was a little, after watching those games, I'm thinking it's still 4.5. And it's 1.9, it's a one, over under one, no, over under 160. That's a high number. But, you know, both these teams can score.
I think it's too high. I think the defense is going to play well. So you got players. You're going to have a situation.
Both these teams can fill it up, though.
They can fill it up, but they can both defend too.
I didn't see 160. I saw Baylor defend it. I didn't see much. Well, I saw
what
UCLA
Suggs
making.
Can defend.
Yeah,
you're right. No, they didn't have. No, Gonzaga did not play all that great against UCLA. UCLA caught one of the all-time heaters, 6-0 against the spread in the tournament.
Yeah, did you see the banner they put up?
Yeah, it was amazing.
With all the other banners they got at UCLA? 6-0
spread. Well, I guess it's 6-0.
Yeah, because they
had a
play-in game.
Was there six
games
for the tournament? Oh, yeah, play-in. That's right.
They had a play-in. So, 4.5. Who you got, Dell? Who you got tonight?
I like Baylor only because I don't care so much about history. I don't need Gonzaga doing something monumental. Let's have them lose in the final game. That'd be nice.
But Why can't you just be happy for Gonzaga?
It'd be great because Saturday was all about, oh, revenge for Adam Morrison. Because remember, he was crying. Get off the floor. Stop crying when UCLA beat him.
They said revenge for Adam Morrison. That's right, because it was UCLA.
And he was actually on the call. He does Gonzaga Radio. So he was the one going, oh, when Jalen Suggs made the shot. I'm looking for history not to be made tonight.
Did he have his bad mustache, though?
I don't know what he looks like now. No, he doesn't have that mustache. I think that's gone. I think he's trying to be professional. But
another good Jordan pick.
Yeah, congratulations to him.
So you got Baylor too tonight?
Nah, Gonzaga.
I don't know. I don't even think.
I don't mind a 4.5. I think Gonzaga, that was their scary. Although you do have to worry about, you know, you did play a highly emotional, charged up, additional extra time game.
Historically, when you have a tough game like that.
That's tough.
That is tough for
Baylor. Baylor did not have a tough game.
No.
But, you know, at the same time, if you look at the history of the season, Gonzaga probably should be about 7.
Yeah, if not that. Well, again, it's recency. You're right. You're probably getting value at 4.5. Probably getting some value at 4.5.
That's how I look at it.
But here's the deal is...
Baylor's awfully good.
But Baylor is back. Now...
Baylor's back, folks!
Are we talking about Baylor that lost to Oklahoma State in the Big 12 tournament? Or are we talking about the Baylor that we're looking at right now? Because it's a different team. It is a different team.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the Baylor that was undefeated going in... What was it? Kansas they lost to first? Who did they lose to first? No, going into COVID. The Baylor that went into COVID was a great basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
And it was clearly Gonzaga and Baylor as the best two teams. Then Michigan came on, Illinois came on, and blah, blah, blah. And guess what?
This has been a stark reminder. Baylor has reminded you. Like, oh, that's right. These are clearly the best two teams.
Well.
And it's going to be, this is one of the best matchups. So Jonathan Givony was on radio this weekend, and he's the one he's an ESPN draft analyst, but he's had Draft Express, which is his basketball website for years and years. It follows the NBA draft. And he, he said you have to go back to see this much first round talent because he believes there's going to be 4 first rounders in this, 3 lottery picks and 4 first rounders from this game. He said you go back to the 2007 game between Ohio State and Florida. He said, when you saw that one with, you know, it had Brewer and Yannick Noah's son, Joakim Noah. And they had Brewer, Joakim Noah. Who else was on that team from Florida? You obviously had Greg Odom. You had 5 players.
Yeah, Mike Conley.
Who else?
Mike Conley was on.
Yeah, Mike Conley was the other one on Ohio State. But I think there's another one on Florida, too. You had
Al Horford.
Oh, yeah.
So you had 5 first-rounders there. He said that it might be the most first-round talent since then. Because a lot of times your players are leaving, and it's harder for those teams where all the players are bolting. Like, not as many of those one-and-done teams are getting to the championships now.
Yeah. Now, Davion Mitchell could be.
No, Mitchell's one of the ones that. And he said Mitchell versus Suggs is a serious matchup because they both defend.
Butler?
Well, Butler is another first rounder he had.
I know.
He said Butler, not Drew Timmy, but he had Butler, he had Suggs, he had Mitchell, and one more from Gonzaga.
Kispert? I think Kispert might be. It's probably the guy. It's got to be Kispert.
I don't think it was Kispert. No, I don't think it was either one of them. I'll look it up and find out.
No, it almost have to be Kispert. Anyway, so wow. I'm going to tell you this. Well, Teague looks nice, and Timmy looks. Timmy not being a that might be a big mistake because, dude, like you said, he can fill it up from outside. He can play. He can do stuff down low. He's long. I mean. If I'm at the end of the first round, I don't know why I wouldn't consider Timmy. I know he's white and he flexes and he doesn't really have much definition and he grabs and he does his mustache thing.
You have to ask yourself, is he a classic?
He's got a terrible mustache.
How does he defend? Yes. You have to ask questions for today's basketball. How does he defend? Does he rebound? Can he handle the athletic 6'10" swing players who can play outside, inside. You know, how does he fit into today's game?
You better get Frank Kaminsky light out of my face, is what I would say.
Yeah, because are you going to see him in the low post? Like, are you really posting Drew Timmy?
Well,
because he's good down there, but they also play that brand of basketball in college. It's not really, you don't see it that much.
And if you put him in pick and rolls, is he going to be a guy who gets destroyed?
He thinks Jonathan Givony believes he'll play in the NBA.
I don't doubt that, because guys can hang on, and he's at least got enough skill offensively to not be a black hole. But I mean, the game is what it is now. I don't know, is he going to be able, if I'm using Dame as an example, but use any guard, if they put him in a pick and roll, is he just going to be a disaster out there where he gets attacked over and over again? These are things you have to consider. I don't know if Timmy's going to be a guy offensively who's going to make his mark, and if the defense is so bad that it makes him a detriment, that's a problem. I think he'll make a roster, certainly, though.
No, I think he could actually make a rotation, and at the end of at the bottom of the first round, like? I could certainly see that.
Who's your comp? Who do you see him like?
Well, he did win. He won the Karl Malone Award, which is what, biggest redneck?
No, it's power forward of the year.
Oh, power forward of the year. Okay.
Like, who's his comp? Who do you see him playing like in the NBA?
I don't want to say. Well,
you want to say Ryan Anderson, didn't you?
No. I wanted to say more Vlade, but
that game doesn't play in the NBA anymore.
Well, Vlade was a skilled passer.
Well, he was a skilled passer. Vlade was also 7 feet tall. I think Timmy's going to come out to be about 6'9" and a half. It's going to be a little shorter. Shorter than Vlade. Vlade was maybe 6'11".
Yeah, I don't want to say Ryan Anderson. I mean,
Timmy right now is a 28%. He's a 29% three-point shooter. That's not in his favor.
No.
You got to be a big stretch, and that's in college three. He shoots 66 from the free throw line. I mean, he's upped
his stock, certainly.
His 7.1 rebounds a game. He's not a great rebounder. He doesn't shoot the three. I think he's a really fun college
Timmy
basketball
can't
player.
Even hang at Fondy. Stop it. You go try to hang. If you can hang at Fondy, you can play, brother.
But he just said NBA.
He can hang at Fondy.
Does Fondy still run? Like, do really good players still run at Fondy? I don't even know. I mean, that was a thing for years and years.
Back in the day, they did. I don't know about it anymore.
Is Timmy even going to leave early?
I don't know. Timmy's only played 2 years.
I think.
Why would Timmy leave?
You stay at Gonzaga for four years.
I think we'll see Timmy, unless your Jalen sucks. I think we'll see Timmy.
Yeah, Timmy will come back
next year.
Timmy's not coming out.
Probably.
He needs to get better. Like, this is not a first-round guy. He didn't have the profile to do it, unless he really tests extraordinarily well athletic.
I saw one place who had him ranked the 55th best prospect. So, certainly not a first-rounder.
Yeah. I mean, but this is a classic case of why Gonzaga's Gonzaga. A guy who's highly skilled like Drew Timmy, who makes big shots, who is skilled in the low post, who's a skilled high post passer. This guy's he's not a one and done. He's not a two and done. He'll go at least 3 years there and maybe a full four.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Gonzaga wins.
Kispert, 44% from three, 53% overall.
JJ Kispert?
88% free throw. Kispert's a first rounder.
You think?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you're awfully flagrant with those white shooting guard first round.
That tends to happen quite a bit, right?
No.
He's 6'7".
Here's the mock draft. I'll give you Jonathan.
Some people have Ajayi as the first rounder.
Ajayi? Yeah. Ajayi. He had a nice game the other night, boy. Wow. He was good. He was really good. 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7. This is what we should be talking about. Let's get
John, Corey Kispert, one mock draft has him as a lottery pick.
As a lottery?
Wow.
Yep. Yeah.
Top 10.
Yeah, not only is it an
Aryan website? Don't listen to this.
No, it's not an Aryan website.
I'm telling you, Corey Kispert is a guy. What do you mean he's a what?
You think he's a real
he's considered
dude?
A lottery pick. What do you mean?
But from one site that Dell mentioned.
Well, NBADraft.net. I mean, it's not an Aryan website, as you put it.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
No, Corey
Kispert. Do you want him for the Rockets?
I wouldn't mind Corey Kispert. This is what they're looking for, a three-point shooter. Wait a minute. How about Dell, getting an actual three-point shooter?
He's got one. His name is Duncan Robinson. I got a 40% three-point shooter who can't play defense. I don't need another one.
I know, because he did not defend the other day. I want Tyler Herro. I don't want
Kispert. No one defended the other day.
Kimmy Kispert or Chauncey Kispert. I want Tyler Hero.
You can't have
that guy. Oh, really? I don't want Duncan Robinson. Want
Tyler Hero this year.
I want Tyler.
He's fine. Well, yeah, he'll sign. Don't worry about it. He'll be fine.
You don't. Oh, will
he? Yeah. Let's get Dr. Funyan in here because Dr. Funyan wants to talk about golf, and that's the important thing this week is the Masters.
Okay.
Which, by the way, they're getting.
Good morning, gentlemen. I hope you guys are doing well.
Uh huh.
So yeah, first of all, I want to say I am excited about the Lord of the Rings series coming up. I hope they do a little backstory on Sauron in the Second Age and the First War of the Men and First and Elves versus Sauron. But also, I want to talk about Jordan Spieth this past weekend. Obviously, I think now he might be one of the betting favorites for the Masters coming up. But John, how did you feel watching Jordan Spieth walk off the 18th green? He really won it in the 17th hole, but walking off the 18th green, a Texas champion of the world.
You know, it was a redemption story. He has obviously struggled so hard. He lost his game. We were talking about him on Saturday morning, and you know, and Billy had said, you know, I wish I could see. I would like to see him win this weekend. But he's been playing great. He's been a top 10 guy, top 15, top 20 guy for a few months, going on 3 months now. So to think that Jordan doesn't have his game back, are you kidding me? And he loves this course. He's played well. Obviously, he won it there, and he fell apart there as well when he should have won it again. So Jordan is by all accounts a great guy, Dr. Funyan. Everybody loves Jordan and knows Jordan. So it is great to see. It's a redemption story for the ages. For the ages. It's like, it's the comeback of Ben Hogan. It's the comeback of...
you sure?
Yeah, it's the comeback
Ben of... Ben Hogan with the wreck that mangled him and then Jordan
it's the comeback of Alex Smith. It's the comeback of...
Alex Smith?
Yeah, it's the comeback that of in life, though, Lance. It's where you're...
It's better than Alex Smith because Alex Smith didn't win.
Yeah. Did Alex Smith win a golf tournament?
No. He didn't even win a Super Bowl.
Oh.
No.
No, he barely the game.
Yeah. No. I'm with you, Dr. Funyan. It gave you goosebumps, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I felt almost like I felt when Tiger won the Masters 2 years ago. So it was a very similar feeling. It's something I'm going to tell my grandchildren about. As well as I'll tell them about Frodo and his sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Is this your brother, Craig? Was your brother Craig also the Lord of the Rings guy? This is like
Craig.
Dr. Funyan couldn't sound more like you if you had a different voice. Like you were able to call in with a plant with a guy with a script.
Yeah, no. Listen, this is Frodo.
The greatest lie ever told is that Frodo's a hero.
Frodo is a hero.
No, he bitched out at the end. I mean,
Gollum
had to
off.
Bite his finger off for at the end. That's the greatest lie. Oh, Frodo, hey, Frodo.
Have you ever been ruled by the ring, Del? No. Have you ever been under its spell? No.
I've been ruled by other things. I will tell you one thing. Don't ever put the ring on a pedestal, John. Ooh, you put the ring on a pedestal. That's what happens.
831 ESPN. You heard it here first. Don't put the ring on a pedestal. But you can put your patio.
Yeah, it's weird to say you put your patio on a pedestal, but it's true. Texas Custom Patios. Here's the deal. With Texas Custom Patios, they are going to give you Stephen Schell or one of his people will come out there. They'll take a look at the space. And it's amazing because they've done thousands of these patios and outdoor living areas and outdoor kitchens, standalone pool houses. And so what happens is they know exactly what it's going to look like. They know exactly what to expect. And then from there, and this is what's so great, from there, they are able to create a CAD drawing of what it's going to be, what your design is going to be, and you can see exactly what it will look like. Like it's an amazing rendering. They tell you the time frame, how much it's going to cost, and then that doesn't change. And you get that peace of mind, but also the peace of mind of knowing that that company, they really stay on top of things so that you don't have to stress. My wife gets stressed about that kind of stuff. She never felt that way with Stephen Schell and Texas Custom Patios because their work is that good, and the quality of their workmanship and the way that they go about it is second to none. TexasCustomPatios.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. The number to get in here on ESPN. I doubt that Dr. Funyan moved like to the top of the power rankings of callers. I think we're greatest caller ever, maybe.
Whose power rankings? Yours? Okay,
Frodo, Jordan Spieth, obviously greatest caller ever, I think. Dr. Funyan, call every segment.
I thought there was a one call per day rule.
That's what I meant.
Okay. Yeah. Call every day? Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, I don't mind it.
Yeah.
You can have it can be the Dr. Funyan segment. And then everybody who wears the pocket protectors and ill-fitting pants and bad shoes can call and listen, because that's my opinion of him when he talks to you about Frodo and Ben. What did you bring up, Ben Hogan, or did he?
I did.
Oh, you compared Jordan Spieth's comeback to Ben Hogan.
Yeah, it was a little different.
You think it's a little aggressive?
Almost lost his leg.
Yeah, you think the Ben Hogan hive is going to appreciate just was that?
Playing terrible golf, and the other one had a car. Didn't
Jordan Spieth get married or something?
Yeah.
Is that what happened to him?
Oh, don't say that. I said it the other day on the show.
On the golf show?
You guys make jokes about that, but the sanctity.
Those are your boys.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, whatever.
It's the wrong show to be on. Whatever. You can make that joke here.
People
would applaud you for it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, you. He got married? No wonder.
By people, I mean me.
Did you see Lance's brisket that he put out on Twitter?
Lance, I mean, you want to stand hard in the paint and keep putting out brisket. That's fine. I don't think he ever imagined when he first put out his initial brisket picture that he was going to catch the heat he did. But I don't understand trying to bring people into your life through barbecue.
I think his wife, Nicole, was like pouring water on it as he was pressing it down. Look,
nothing's going to surpass the initial brisket.
Nothing.
He can do anything he wants. And you know what everyone said. Oh, where'd you buy that from? Oh, nice that you bought that. Nice job buying it this time as opposed to last time. He can't recover from the initial one.
No.
And apparently Lincoln Riley won't either.
No. Oh, that was bad.
It actually did look like a piece of tree.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Lance's initial brisket is the Nathan Peterman of debuts.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I can never get 5 interceptions out of my mind. That's who he is.
And Lance barbecuing or Lance making or cooking brisket, whatever you call it, smoking brisket, is that thing he put out there initially.
He's Nathan Peterman. Or like you say, Josh Rosen. But yeah, that's a body of work. I'm talking about the initial site you said, wow, good thing Nathan Peterman got in.
We benched our relatively average starter for this guy.
Our relative.
Yeah. Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
God. Lincoln Riley, great developer of college quarterbacks. He's not a bad decision maker when it comes to barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
It's 8:35. Well, it's 8:37 now, and we haven't talked about Watson's pee-pee yet. What kind of show is this?
It's a mistake on our part.
No, I talked about it. He's got the cops are investigating.
Well, you didn't talk specifically about his.
No, but no, I didn't talk about his pee-pee. But
yeah,
I don't want to talk about Deshaun's pee-pee.
Yeah, if you missed it for the first time, the Houston Police Department is actually investigating one of the complaints. I don't know if it's now Tony Busby said he did not have anything to do with this complaint as far as filing it. I don't know if the woman in question is one of his clients, but a criminal complaint has been filed and is being investigated.
I talked to a civil trial lawyer, Nick Lanza. I can say it. Nick Lanza. He was a great, and he's a civil trial lawyer, and he said what Busby is doing is tremendous. The way he's going about this thing, I mean, for his client, obviously. No, not the way Tony Busby is going. The way that Tony Busby is going about this is really, really, he's doing a wonderful job for his clients in that he's releasing, how he's releasing them, how he's gaining public. Why this matters, I don't know, in a trial, because it's all going to be all about the judge or the jury, who's ever deciding it, obviously. But it's going to be awfully difficult, isn't it? I mean, how many people in this city don't know anything about this trial? I mean, honestly,
Well, that's like asking the Derek Chauvin, trial.
Yeah.
The Chauvin trial with, who doesn't know?
Who doesn't know? Right? Who hasn't seen?
With Deshaun, there's some people
I don't know.
Who don't know anything about sports. They may have heard about it, but they didn't follow the intricacies of it. I could see that.
Yeah, do you?
You really think it's getting a trial?
Well, no. Anything? But if it does, you know,
sure.
You're going to be in a place where, and oh, by the way, but if you're, aren't you, so that's going to be a difficult thing too for Rusty Harden. Do you want people who idolize Deshaun, or do you want people who don't even know who he is? That'll be, you know what I'm saying?
You want idolizers.
When you're picking a jury,
you want idolizers.
You want idolizers, but they also are like, oh man, Deshaun, what the hell? So they followed this thing. They know about it. They know there's, you know, obviously they'll find out all the details of it anyway during the trial. But there's how can you not have already made up somewhat your mind?
Yeah.
That'll be interesting if it ever does. I doubt it'll go to trial either. 7378037 76.
And how many trials do you have to have?
21. Now. I don't know how they'll do that, if they'll combine them all or what. But
next!
It will not be a class action. It's not a class action.
Number 7?
Yeah.
7? Yeah. Like at a deli counter or meat, you know, at the butcher. Number 9!
Number 20?
Number 9 here. Number 9. Yeah. They have to go up and Tony Busby will bring up number 9.
What? Me? Me?
Yeah.
We're talking about civil trials.
Can I help you? Number 13?
There may only be one trial that's important if this complaint is credible and can be investigated with the HPD.
Yeah.
So the civil trial thing or settlements is a thing, but there's another thing on the horizon where this woman is deemed to have evidence that something occurred that's very serious. That's in the whole nother front. Does Rusty do criminal trials? Okay.
Absolutely.
Does he do them for high profile people? It's just, I've never heard of him doing criminal. I just maybe have never heard of it.
Well, no. Yeah. Roger Clemens was criminal.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, so, no, he does. That's what he does, is criminal. So, lawyer that I talked to, Nick Lanza, about this, he said the criminal really isn't important to the civil.
I know that, but as far as Deshaun
concerned. It doesn't matter if they find, there's 21 of them.
Oh, I'm not saying.
They're all going to be different.
One leads into the other, but as far as, you know, paying money as opposed to, you know, losing your liberty, your freedom.
No. And Terry Yates told me, he said, I don't really want him to be destroyed. What they want to do is him to be able to make money because, that's how they're going to get paid on this deal. And it's going to be awfully difficult to go after the Texans. They're awfully difficult to go after the Texans. That guy that said that, Terry just went,
You'd have to have
that's a real reach going after the Texans.
Well, you would have to have knowledge they covered it up.
Covered it, not only covered it up, but actually participated.
Yeah. Well, you could say they fostered, by covering up, they fostered an atmosphere where other women were
put at risk.
Abused or put at risk or something like that. You could potentially pull that one off. I don't know that you have any, like, how are you going to get that information, though, that the Texans had? You're going to have to get a text or a tweet, or, I mean, yeah, you have to get a text or a direct message that the Texans had direct knowledge. I don't see that happening. And if they did,
well,
in the off season, like, I don't know what they could.
Yeah, what?
I don't know. I don't know what they could do.
People who had, there are a lot of people. You're going to
hear people say, stay out of his personal life. And then you'll have other people say, you should have stepped into his personal life.
What about his agent that had, all these people that had knowledge of it? What? It was Deshaun that was doing it. So people had knowledge
allegedly.
Of it.
So,
allegedly. I mean, all kinds of people that.
It's not alleged that he had massages, because even his side said, here's 18 good ones.
Yeah. No, that he was actually doing and performing any criminal activity during them. That's another story. All right, 7378037768433, 713-780-3776. 3776, the number.
What? This is not. See, we can't reach. Childish Altuve is so racist now. Mm-hmm. You don't draft whites unless they speak no English. While that's been moderately true in the past, it's not funny, Dell. That's not funny right. that you don't draft white
Did
players.
Did Luka not speak English?
In basketball. Luka speaks English now.
I thought he was fine. No, he could always speak, at least when he became famous and we knew about him. He spoke English at the draft, yeah. right?
See?
Yeah, some English. Well, broken English anyway. How about broken English?
So you don't want someone
I want Timmy better be, you know, better not be all that great at you don't the want, English language. That's
so
all.
Either you want him to be nearly illiterate or just not be or be some from a different country where English isn't his first language? Is yeah. that the
well,
formula?
That's, okay, now that does that make
something like
does
that.
Does that make some sense to you? I would rather draft Luka than
Yeah.
Than
who?
That makes a lot of sense. I'd rather draft Luka than most everybody Kimski, else in the world.
Or whatever his name is. Drew Pinsky.
That's Drew Pinsky.
Ken Krimsky.
Drew Pinsky is that sex therapist, it's, right? What? From
yeah,
Loveline?
He plays for Gonzaga. No, Drew Kempsky.
That's Timmy.
Timmy.
Kempster.
All right, time to talk about issues that you might be having in the boudoir.
Ooh.
I mean, listen, when stuff breaks, okay, your microwave breaks or your toaster breaks, you get it fixed, okay? You get it fixed. When your lovemaking breaks, you get it fixed. This is what you do. Why would you want to go through life not having a wonderful relationship with your partner? And you can do this with GetRoma.com/John. You can do this. And it's so much more convenient. Not going to the doctor, taking off of work, going to the doctor's office, having to go to the pharmacy, do all of that stuff that you have to do, time-consuming and whatnot. How about after work, you go home, you get online at GetRoma.com/John, and you talk to a U.S. licensed healthcare worker, professional, a doctor, to take care of your ED without leaving home. And the packaging, two-day, free, ships to you free, two-day shipping, straightforward and discreet. That's the most important thing. GetRoma.com/John. Go to GetRoma.com/John now and get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoma.com/John. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 847 ESPN 97.5. The shortest breaks in the world here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Shortest breaks in the history of the world. So don't ever leave to go somewhere to hear, I don't know, hear them talking about, you know.
Sean's pee-pee? We do that here.
Well.
You don't have to go away for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no. But they're going to talk about whether or not Charlie Heck is going to, be, you know, if he can move down to guard. They're going to do 6 segments on that.
Well, I don't think he can.
What? No. That's what they do. That's
but he can't. I don't think he can move to guard, though.
Well.
Let's talk about that.
Okay. It's actually an important
all right, we just
question.
Did. It's over.
It's actually a real question.
Is it?
Well, Lance, let's
get into this.
What precludes him from being a guard when he's a tackle? Isn't he just moving like 6 feet,
not strong
six
enough,
inches
not enough
to the left or whatever Ken Hoffman used
I'm
to say?
I'm going to predict that they look at Charlie Heck. Well, so he's a coach's son. He's Andy Heck. He's Andy Heck's son. He may not be strong enough to make the team, though.
To make the team?
They're not going to. They don't care. First of all, Bill Belichick, the Patriot way is they don't even care about their own draft picks. If they think a guy can't play, they'll be like, next. You think Nick Caserio is going to come in here and care about Bill O'Brien's picks? He'll come in here and be like, no, I don't like you, Russ Blacklock. Beat it. I hope he doesn't. I hope we're not already telling Russ Blacklock to beat it. He's been here 1 year.
Well, I don't know about, you know, I don't want to go Dan Orlovsky here, but let's find out, you know, let's find out whether or not he's putting everything into this.
Ooh, you better do some more digging with his trainer.
Yeah, you need to call Gary Patterson before you make that determination.
Yeah, I didn't say
John
it.
John Granato with a hat in his kitchen. I've called more people and done more digging, and it turns out he's a great player and an even better person. I'm
I do know.
So I also have more. He never said I'm sorry.
TMIG?
He never said I'm sorry.
No, he didn't.
You don't apologize for someone giving you information.
But that was an apology video without saying I'm sorry.
Yeah, he learned from Kevin. Well, Kevin Durant learned from him. I don't know which one came first. I'm sorry everyone saw what I wrote.
Okay, so.
Not that I wrote it.
So here's some things that happened over the weekend. Tell me if there's other things coming here. Paul Pierce was on his own Instagram Live.
Yeah, John's talking about Dan Orlovsky getting run out of town by ESPN. Paul Pierce. What is ESPN going to do to Paul Pierce?
I mean, Dan Orlovsky did nothing but share something. And so, he didn't get Paul Pierce was in an Instagram Live. There was literal strippers popping all the.
Yeah, but she had.
Hey,
happened. She had bottoms on. I mean, it wasn't like she was naked.
No, but you could see everything.
Well, no, you could just see she had a thong, John, or something.
Do you mean me to do it? I'm not going to do it in camera's view. You saw what she was doing.
Yeah, no.
Paul Pierce was doing that.
I don't remember. Maybe you can reenact it.
It was a poker game. People were throwing chips at her and the other strippers. By the way, there was more than one video that Paul did that night. He was drunk. Like, it's not a good look. I can tell you, if I did that, NFL would be extraordinarily unhappy.
It was awfully bright for a poker game.
Was it somebody's private place?
Yeah, no.
They hired strippers to be there. He was telling other strippers to come through, yeah, be part of it. That's not a great look for ESPN. And somebody else said, where's Rachel Nichols there in the tweet?
Right.
Yeah.
No, Rachel, don't.
She wouldn't be
besmirch
there.
Besmirch Rachel's name.
I mean, she might be playing poker, but I don't know if she'd be in this environment.
Well, no, but they said that. It was a big deal. You know that. That was a big deal. Somebody said, where's Rachel Nichols at? And he didn't say anything. So everyone's like, ooh, put Rachel in there too?
Mm-mm.
Which I didn't even know what exactly it meant. But so you had that. You had that going on for Paul Pierce. I don't know if it's the jump. Is that, or no, he does other stuff.
I'm looking at the video. There's one woman maybe rubbing Paul's shoulders or something, and he's has this, I don't know, maybe a despondent look on his face. And to his left, or his right, but left of the screen, there's just a thonged woman, as Lance said, popping it.
Yeah.
And
is this the first you're seeing of this?
I haven't watched the video because I don't like anything to do with Paul Pierce. So I'm looking at it now, and he can't. What's ESPN going to do with this? What are they going to do this guy?
I don't know. I don't know what you do. You could say, Paul, everyone's laughing off like it's no big deal, but I can promise you that a lot of people would get run out of town for that. Like, that's just not what, we don't want you to represent our brand. I guess because he's a former player, I feel like we have a low bar for players. You're just known to, he's a player. Of course,
this was Brian Windhorst.
Oh, my God. Well, Windhorst would catch, that would actually elevate Windhorst's brand.
Yeah, I wish it was him instead of Paul Pierce. Because, I mean, they take it or leave Paul Pierce, but God, I just want to know the response. What's happening in the room? Whoever, the decision makers, when they see this video, no, he's usually bad with the basketball takes, but whatever. We don't care about that so much. Come on. But this,
if it was Windhorst, there'd be a guy with a giant sub behind him cutting it up. And Windhorst would be, hey, come on, you got.
You better watch yourself.
Come on.
A giant sub?
Yeah, cutting it up. And he'd be like, look, man, you got to come here, baby. And then he'd be saying, talk Rosie O'Donnell or something. Hey, Rosie. Hey, Rosie, come.
Rosie, comments.
Why is he with Rosie O'Donnell?
Hey, what's up, Richie? Yeah, come through if you're in town. Come through. Look at this. Paul Pierce is showing literally. Choochie boochie, just all over the place, slapping and slapping and popping, and that's what he would be doing. Like, look at this! It's just gabagool, salami, black olives. Yeah, they're like got the oil in them. He's got right there in the middle of doing the oil and the red wine vinegar on the top. Oh, look how juicy it's getting!
Windhorst, come on, that ain't happening.
Listen to the mustard. How hot is that, Richie?
The mustard.
Oh. So, yeah, come on.
So, we're not done, though. We're not done.
What?
Let's see. There was, and what is going to happen now for Carlton Davis from the NFL for using an Asian slur?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he used the G word.
So on Twitter, he used the G word, Asian slur, said they needed to get them out of Miami, and right. everyone's like, excuse me?
No, he said it's somebody lame, and he actually put a definition out there, and I almost believe him.
Okay, so
that he did not know the meaning of it.
Here's
I almost
deal.
Believe him.
He said, well, first of all, he told people they're not allowed to have an opinion, that all sports writers need to just...
back away.
He said... we got to stop letting the G words in Miami.
Yeah.
He apologized and said, I would never offend any group of people.
Except for the lames you just called that word.
Yeah. I would never offend any group of people. You reporters can look for another story to blow up. The term was directed towards a producer claiming he ran Miami. With that being said, I'll retire that word from my vocabulary, given the hard times our Asian family are enduring. Love emoji.
Now,
then he said, I used a term that from where I came from always meant lame.
And he is from South Florida, and there is a definition in Urban Dictionary. Now, the by isn't Carlton Davis, April 3rd, 2021. It's actually from 4 years ago by whoever this person is. A term commonly used in South Florida to describe a person who was lame. So it did apparently exist in 2017, at least.
Oh, okay. No, I actually, when I read that, I thought, this is what I think. I think it's very similar to Myers-Leonard. I don't think Myers-Leonard knew what he was saying, and I don't think probably Carlton Davis.
No, they took I believe him, yeah.
Slur, they take slurs, and the slurs have been co-opted into meaning something else. And for Myers-Leonard, apparently that's a common phrase in gaming.
Well, that's because they're using a Jewish slur to call someone something. Now, whether he knew it or not... sure, but it's derived because they're using it because apparently being called Jewish is a negative, so they just throw in a more aggressive term, I guess, of that. But this one, it appears that legitimately it has been co-opted to call people lame in South Florida, and that's where Carlton Davis
but
is from.
That's exactly it. Is that I believe Carlton Davis didn't know that it had Asian connotation.
Does he still get the $50,000 fine? Probably should.
Probably.
The NFL needs
And I
to.
Believe that
Myers-Leonard?
Myers-Leonard just was like, everybody says that word. What's the problem?
Yeah, because people use it to call you
an idiot or a jerk. Yeah.
I can't speak to him. I'm not in the gaming community.
He is a Jewish owner. I don't think he would knowingly take that kind of chance on a wide open Twitch where people can see him.
I just know
you're trying to get rid of him. Oh, wait, no. You don't have Myers.
Trevor Ariza. They traded him for him.
Yeah, you don't have Myers.
I think that word is used because for some reason, it's racism, is that calling someone Jewish is considered a negative, even when you just say Jewish or you use the word Jew. And then they just added on a more aggressive tone. So he may not have known the origin, but he knew he was using a some form of negative slang, and because he's dumb and also has a platform because he's famous, he caught it. If we're being generous, or he just used it because he knew what it meant, and he just got caught up in a moment. I don't know.
I believe Carlton Davis. I mean, he actually thought, hey, from the get go, he was like, that word didn't mean that to me. I get that. And you know what? He probably didn't know the origin of it. I mean, I don't know how much he talks about Asian culture or whatever.
Or is that word even commonly used?
Not anymore.
Yeah, I don't
know. Back in the day, but not anymore. Yeah, unless he's got some kind of Vietnam memories
or he watched those movies all the time. Right. Yeah, that's the only...
But even then, he might have thought, well, that just means lame.
Yeah. You speak to that. When I was a kid, that's the only place I ever heard that word.
Yeah.
Watching those movies.
Yeah, he might not. Who knows if he's watched Vietnam movies?
Yeah.
859 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. I talked to Rick the other day. I'm borrowing a smoker. We got a big event this week at the church that we're having a grill off, and I'm borrowing one of the grills from Rick. And he's going to be giving us tips, and we're going to win this thing. We're going to win it because.
Think so?
Yeah. Well, if Rick's giving us tips, who's the greatest grill man in the city?
I think you saw yesterday after.
Oh my god!
Don't point.
You're not comparing yourself to Rick Martin.
He just he just feels great.
Yeah. Guess where I got my grill? Texas Star Grill Shop. Guess what I used? I used the Memphis from Texas Star Grill Shop.
Oh my
guess god. What I had yesterday? I made a brisket that was called W. They said from the top, make it drop for this wet ass brisket.
No,
that's what they
said.
There's songs being made about it.
That's
now.
That's a lie.
It's amazing. It squirted. It was like
whoa, whoa.
Oh my God.
Whoa.
Texas Star Grill Shop. That's what I'm talking about. I used the Memphis wood pellet grills. People were asking, "What'd you do? How'd you do it? How'd you do it?" Well, I'm glad you asked. Like, I would love to sit here and do a segment on how I made this award-winning brisket. I won't. I don't have that kind of time. I can just tell you this. I knew nothing about grilling or anything 15 years ago. Nothing. But the pros over at Texas Star Grill Shop really taught me everything. And they can do the same thing with you. You get these grills that are unbelievably durable, high-performance grills. They stay the right temperature the entire time. The cooking is even. It leads to succulent, delicious meat, pork, chicken, whatever it is that you want to cook. Texas Star Grill Shop is truly your one-stop shop with every amenity you could possibly want. And yes, the best grills that are going to be delivered and assembled absolutely free. TexasStarGrillShop.com.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.